Now, look, what? I thought that show was incredible. Don't take my word for it. Here's what Tommy Radonic has thought.
How f***ing good's that?
I loved it.
What a wrap up, Tommy.
He wrapped up the rugby league so well there, Tommy, that we got Kevvy Walters to talk mainly about Adele.
No, yeah. And Matilda, and the musical.
Yeah. We didn't need him to talk footy after that. Tommy.
We do have some Kevvy Walters for you. We also spoke to the head of security from Cap Security, Hawley. He's an absolute champ about the security for the Adele concert and all of the traffic, not problems, but the traffic disruptions that we've had there. That was a bit of fun. A bit of Paleo Pete as well. There's plenty on for a Friday, guys.
Yeah. No. You're forgetting the one thing where all three of you here in the studio were completely silent when we had a couple of women come on talking about their no strings attached multiple partners. You were loving it, you three.
Oh, she said, I got all my fantasies taken care of and then I got a husband. Beautiful. What a beautiful moment.
Win-win.
Plenty to come on the catch-up. Enjoy it. We'll catch you Monday.
While you're listening to this Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up, grab your phone, head to redsrugby.com.au and book your tickets for our St George Reds taking on the Crusaders, Saturday, March 11 at Suncorp Stadium. Speaking of Reds, here's one bloke who earned 65 caps with them. Oh, and Ed and Robin as well.
Best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Ooh. Yeah, Best of Brisbane. We've had 10 sporting clubs nominated this week. We'll just go through them. The Albany Creek, Excelsior Soccer Club, the Stafford Roller Sports Club, Valleys Diehards Rugby League, Narangbah Football Club. We've had the Eastern Suburbs Football Club. We've had Brothers Rugby in Albion. We've had South Sunnybank Rugby League. Logan, their bowls club, they were in there. Also the
Logan Rugby Brothers Rugby League Brothers and the Everton Park Roosters Rugby Union Club.
But let's go, because it's now come down to the final three and we have a winner. In third place, Everton Park Rugby Union Club.
Oh, well done, the Roosters.
Well done.
Nice work.
Second place, South's Sunnybank Rugby League Club.
We know it well. Jonathan Thurston's old club. That's where he grew up playing.
Golf clubs?
Yeah, golf clubs. 16%, not too shabby.
But that means the winner... And we have a very special guest to announce it. It's the one and only. Yes, please be upstanding for King Wally Lewis. Hello, Wally.
Hello.
Oh, Wally, I hope we've given you the right envelope and and you're not going to do an Oscars on us.
No, I'll slide the bills out of the way and get the correct envelope out.
All right, mate. Can you announce Brisbane's best local sporting club according to our enormous survey?
Well, mate, it gives me great pleasure to announce the best of Brisbane. Best local sporting club is the Valleys Diehards Rugby League Club.
All right. Your old club, Wal, what are the memories like? You were there from the age of 17 or 18, weren't you?
Yeah, I joined it actually when I was 13, when it was based over at Stafford, and then went to the senior ranks over at Newman Oval, which is now, of course, owned by Queensland Cricket, and just across the road from Brothers Rugby. We used to enjoy a beer with the boys, but it was magnificent. I loved my time there. It was a sad day when I had to leave the place. I still remember Tom Dooley came up and said, "Mate, the club's broke. We've got no money. We can't pay the players. You're going to have to go and look somewhere else." And I went to Winner Manly in 84, but loved my time at Valleys. And we had to get together last week, actually. Quite ironic.
I saw that on Facebook. You got there and you got a hell of a surprise that they were sort of honouring you.
Yeah, one of the best gets of all time, that one, turned up, and I thought I was actually going to my daughter-in-law's birthday party, turned up, and all the old Valleys boys were there dressed in the famous blue and white shirt, and it was fantastic. It was a wonderful night, and we remained very very close friends.
Oh, that's great. Hey, well, we've got Danny with us here. Danny's from Everton Park, but he's the president of Valleys. Would you like to award him officially the Brisbane's best local sporting club?
Dan, congratulations, mate. Valleys have won the best Brisbane local sporting club, and I'm sure that gives plenty of pride associated with that famous blue jersey.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks, Wally. Yeah, the club is over the moon, having won the competition. I think they're relieved to now stop voting. All the members, the players, and everyone got behind the cheerleaders from the old days. No, it was fantastic, but... it's more special that you're presenting the award to us, Wally. Thanks very much, and thanks for your support over many years as well.
It was a pleasure. It was a privilege to be part of the place, mate. And I look forward to that next pre-grand final drink with the boys when we all get together one more time.
They were such a proud club. Hey, Danny, I was a ball boy for the West Panthers back in the 70s. And I remember after the victories, the team who won got to play their club song. When you're ready, Danny, King Wally, here's the Valley's club song.
To the valley, you'll find the diehard. That's it. That's the one.
Oh, yes. We got
that's
you.
Congratulations. We play that song after every victory after our BLL.
You still play that song, Danny? I grabbed that from about 73, I reckon.
Yeah, no, we still play that song. Oh, yeah, we have a pretty good town announcers at our... at Emerson Park, and there is the playing that song after a victory at the club. So
well done.
And Wally... super impressed you still remembered the words, mate.
Ah, yeah, never forget it. They always used to say that we only get to enjoy it when we're having a drink, so the boys knew the words backwards, actually. They used to do that pretty often. Oh,
thanks to both of you. Well done, Valleys. Got good fans.
Hey, before you go, Tommy Radonikis wanted to pass on his congratulations.
How good's that?
He loves it,
Tommy.
Thanks,
Tommy.
There's something you can't take away from rugby league.
Thanks, boys.
Now, I've only been here 5 weeks, but I think already that my favourite call in the last 5 weeks has to go to Tony of Daisy Hill, because yesterday we were discussing relationships with no strings attached.
Uh-huh. And oh, people have multiple partners.
That can go and have two or three or four, or in Tony's case, five.
Yeah, three plus two.
What?
Five.
Five. Well, three in Queensland. I go back to WA quite often, so I've got two on the go over there as well.
Like now?
Oh, no. Footy's back on TV now, so I've pulled the pin on it all. Yeah. I've got something to do, but in the time the cricket season was around, I was flat out like a Taliban tunnel digger, I tell you.
Wow. Cricket season only. That's good. Classic.
But there were lots of blokes calling through yesterday, and I did throw out the challenge that are there any women who have multiple guys going on the go, because I was insinuating that perhaps there wasn't.
But now we do go. We have some ladies who want to tell us about it. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how are you?
Good. All the better for hearing your story. So talk us through it. You have had a situation in your life where you've had more than one person on the go at the same time.
I did, yes. So I had gotten out of a relationship and really, really didn't want to ever be in one again. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of, had a lot of, had probably four friends with
And where did you find these friends?
Some of them I met online. Some of them I just sort of had already known for a little while.
Jess, how did you work things out? Was there a Monday night guy, a Wednesday dude, a weekender?
No, it wasn't really that often. Maybe once a week, sort of, whoever I was feeling at the time. Yeah. It's a very casual sort of thing. It was very important for me, for everybody to sort of be on the same page, though. Yeah. So I was very upfront and honest about it, and sort of, you know, if any feelings came up, that's something that was very important to talk about straight away.
Okay, so you said in the past, what happened?
I met my partner a few years ago, and that just sort of, as soon as I met him, I changed my opinion on relationships and wanted to give it a go again.
Which one of the internet sites was the best to find people?
If you want something casual, definitely Tinder.
Tinder, right.
I think Plenty of Fish and Oasis and your other dating sites are more if you're wanting something a bit serious.
Looking Tinder's back, Jess, casual. Was it because we've heard this from a couple of people, looking back on that transitional period where you were out of a relationship and then you went back into another relationship, did it help? The casual sort of nature of the other encounters you were having, did it help you sort of bridge that gap?
I think it did. I think it did, definitely.
Got your confidence back?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're all sort of no one wants to be alone, but doesn't mean that you have to be in a relationship to sort of hang out with people.
Good right. one.
And on, does your partner now know about your past history and does he care?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So when I first met him, I was very sort of upfront and honest about it all, and I think he appreciated that.
What a mature adult you are, Jess.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, Jess.
Well done.
Loretta.
Jess, yeah, here we go. Loretta from the Sunshine Coast.
Morning.
Good morning.
Do you do the same thing? You had multiple partners with no strings attached?
Yes, back when I was early 20s, I had about six men that were I had at once. But not all of them were all about sex. Some of them were about learning new things. Each had a different quality that they brought to the table, and out of all of them, only one of them knew of the others. Oh. And yeah, so it was sort of really hush hush.
Blokes aren't all that worried about that, I would figure. Would that be correct?
Oh, jealousy? As I've gotten older, I don't think they worry as much, but
hang on. What did they bring to the table? I'm so curious to ask. Are we talking practical, like this guy can fix your plumbing,
or
are we talking? Are we talking more in the bedroom? Like, what was it that made them unique?
Well, one of them, he was just more like someone to spend time with. Had fun going to the movies, going to the beach, doing all the casual stuff, and then there was a couple that taught me stuff about myself and learned to be a little bit more sexually explore things. And yeah, so it was an experience.
How did you roster them on, Loretta? You know, you just, obviously those two probably got more of a run than the guy you went pimping bowling with. But how did you decide? How did you communicate?
Well, we just sort of talked and I'd drop one off, pick one up and drop him home after work and spend a bit of time with him, and then go to the next one and spend a bit of time with the next one, and then depending on what time it was, I could probably go and see a third one. Or
in one day, you would do that often in one afternoon?
Well, one early hours of the morning, yeah.
Yeah, right. Wonderful time management, Loretta.
Excellent conversation.
Now, Loretta, what's your situation these days?
I'm happily engaged to my partner, and we've been together for 17 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow. At our anniversary.
All thanks to those six guys.
To the confidence.
Yep.
Wow. That's like a committee. That's like a little committee.
Seems to work all right.
This seems to be working, doesn't it? Yes. Thank you, Loretta. One more, Robin.
Gail of Jindalee. Hello.
Hello, how are you guys this morning?
Wow, well, we're getting educated quite nicely, thanks, Gail.
They're loving it.
What do you got?
I've got some more education for you.
Thank you.
After my first marriage, I didn't want commitment. Just hated it, steered clear of it. So jumped on the dating sites, you know, like Plenty of Fish, Adult Matchmaker was another one, and I met some terrific friends, really, really good blokes. Whom I soon became involved with, not so much, not all of them were sexual, but they were just friends. But my main reason for doing it was that if they wanted to be involved, then they had to work for it. You know, like, I had a fairly big horse property back then too, so fences always needed fixing, a tractor needed tuning, or they all had
purpose. Oh, my God. What a practical woman.
They had their purpose. They weren't just there for the freeloading. They were there for a major purpose. And I'm a terrible, terrible cook, as my current partner will tell you.
Yeah.
So not only did I learn to cook a little bit, but also on the sexual side of things, there were some fantasies that were fulfilled big time on my side and on their side. So it was always such a fun thing to do. But, you know, It's something I don't miss. I'm currently happy with my relationship at the moment, but they were good years. Like, I did this for about 5 or 6 years, and it was a lot of fun, and I met some really nice blokes doing it as well.
So you've got to fix your own fences now, though.
Well, when I'm not on property anymore, unfortunately. Okay. So, yes, yeah, so it's just the old domestic.
That's what you took out of it? That's what you took out of Gail's story, Marto. She talks fantasy. She says you did it for 5 years. Like, did you have to fix your fence?
Oh, sorry.
God, mate.
Because I worry about Robin's the same. She has trouble getting someone to do everything.
I do. I have a lot of people in my life to facilitate, stuff like fixing pools and sorting stuff out.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you all for your calls. They were very personal and good to see all happy, healthy experiences.
Yeah. Everyone lived happily ever after. That doesn't often happen.
You learned something today, didn't you, boys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've learned a lot. I've learned that Marto should not be the person that writes 50 Shades Darker. And then he came over with a screwdriver and he fixed me fence.
Oh, my God.
So it's a goodbye to Hunters and Collectors because, unfortunately, Robin and Marto, they're going to have to change their name. Hunters and Collectors have been going since the 80s. They're an iconic Australian band. Great that was band. One of their absolutely classic songs. We play them a lot here on the M's. We've all seen them live a number of times, but it's over. And it's come because the people for ethical treatment of animals,
PETA,
otherwise known as PETA, Robin, have found out that there's a band called Hunters and Collectors, and they've written an open letter. I'll do it in PETA's voice.
Go on.
We've written an open letter to the band, expressing that in the lead up to duck hunting season. Don't laugh.
Is this about duck hunting?
It's about duck hunting.
Oh, yes, God. It's about duck hunting.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. In the lead up to duck hunting season, the band should change their name to discourage people from hunting animals. And the letter's been signed by Director of Campaigns at PETA.
Director of Campaigns? Aren't these the people who go up to people who are wearing fur jackets and throw paint on
yes,
them?
Yes, that's them.
They're that. They're also the people who just, recruit insufferable actors to crap on about whatever they think it is that's going to make them look vaguely more worthy for the 5 minutes in which that they pretend to care. That's also what they do.
So this is about duck hunting and they want, how do Hunters and Collectors, because, those poor buggers, they got caught up in this.
Yeah, but because they're appearing at the Clipsal 500 in Adelaide, they're the band doing the gig. Mm. So
what
they're going
to Delta?
Support actress? I don't know. She was at the pits.
What about other bands? Have they targeted any other bands?
At the moment, I haven't been on PETA's website because I just don't want to. But they've targeted Hunters and Collectors. And Robin, it makes sense. Since before Hunters and Collectors started, there was no duck hunting. And it's only since that band has been secretly using propaganda. Well, no, they've been using a lot of propaganda in their songs. Brendan, have you got some of their propaganda?
No, it's this.
Right, but the full...
I'm going to the gun shop.
Well, hold your horses, Butter, because the full line is, those big black birds in the sky, nobody deserves to die.
Oh, they're anti.
But when they play it, they're winking. They're all winking. They're like, wink at you.
You know
and they
what
make
I mean.
And they make sort of shotgun movements with their hands on their guitars.
I clearly can't believe trying I missed
to
miss that.
Yeah, I know. It's there if you're looking for it.
In Holy Grail, I'm sure there was a duck whistle at one stage.
Oh, did you hear it? Did you hear it?
And what happens? The ducks all converge on their concert and you just get your guns out and everyone starts shooting. Oh, mate, it's a duck killing orgy.
And we know that about Hunters and Collectors,
yes,
you know?
Most concerts.
But PETA is not without suggestions. They've said, all right, they've asked them to please change their name, and they've given a couple of suggestions for Hunters and Collectors and see which one you like better. Yeah. PETA's first suggestion is that Hunters and Collectors change their name to Dreadlocks and Fire Twirlers. And if you don't like that, Hunters and Collectors, you can be Bloggers and the Vegans. How does that sound?
Very PETA-ish. That's what guns are for.
How much pee is in our swimming pools?
I'm really interested in this because I am a swimmer and I swim at least 3 times a week in public pools doing laps.
You swallow a bit too, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Don't. Because urine has been detected in 100% of pool samples tested by scientists.
Okay.
100%. So you have to... I assumed, Marto, as I'm sure you did, and you, Robin, you get into a public pool, there's going to be some urine around. Yeah, you'd think that.
But you also know how much chlorine they use, so I just trust that they know what they're doing.
And here comes the amount of...
Okay.
What's a bad amount? Can you give us all these details?
No. I'll tell you the amount and you tell me whether you think it's bad.
Righto.
All
right.
I'm really nervous about this. This
almost needs like a drum roll. I don't know why, but it just feels like the Price is Right or something.
Is it really bad?
Scientific test finds up to 75 litres of urine in public pools.
That makes me want to gag.
Hold on.
It's a bit.
That is a fair bit.
Yeah.
How much do you normally do? Like, after you've had four beers or something, would that be a litre's worth of urine?
Hang on. No. Can we just talk? How much is the volume of a pool?
Like, I knew you'd say that.
Because if it works out, it's like 1% or like 2%
okay,
of
ready?
The volume of water in
it?
A pool.
Have you got it, Ed?
Yeah, I got it, mate.
A normal household pool is about 50,000.
So a public swimming pool is around 830,000 litres.
Hold on.
Of which 75 litres was urine.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's nothing.
No, a good visual would be 30-odd 2-litre Coke bottles filled with urine, pouring all those in.
Yeah, but how many?
30-odd.
Oh, mate.
Into a big pool.
That's a lot of
urine. Is it strong urine or weak urine? Like, is it a really yellow one?
Oh, mate, they don't have a colour chart. Okay. They haven't got the Taubman's colour chart out.
Is that swimming pool yellow?
Can I get the house done?
That would be down the shallow end of the pool.
Don't try that, Robin. Because when they come to the end of their laps, they stop
and have a breather, and that's when they realise that their bladders are full.
It's when they first hop in.
No.
That's when you do your...
No.
Isn't it?
No.
Not that I've ever...
No, never. Oh, look, how many people do you see getting out of the pool? Like, really? How many people do you see getting out of the pool, going to the toilet, coming back and getting back in?
Nobody.
Zero, nada, nil.
Here it is. So that's swimming pools. So let's put that to one side for the moment.
75.
For people that love jacuzzis.
Oh, good. Go on.
If you are a jacuzzi frequenter, then perhaps this is the least of your worries. But jacuzzis were found to have three times the amount of concentration per litre of urine than swimming pools. Mm. Put it this way, it's not the heat that's causing the bubbles.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a world. What a world.
No wonder people get sick in just jacuzzis.
You are actually
In a jacuzzi? Put your hand up.
The good thing about a jacuzzi is mostly they're owned by either yourself or your friends. So at least you're swimming in familiar way.
I had to swim in anyone's way. Gee, I'm glad I'm swimming
for
in yours.
Friends, yeah. Fist bump.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
He's the coach of the Queensland Origin side. He looks beautiful in the new Fox Sports ads that he's doing with his shirt to sort of deliciously open as he stands front and centre.
Won't the girls flock to Fox Sports to see Kevin Walters?
Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say now.
Hey, Kevy.
How was it, mate? Did everyone remember what they were doing, game one?
It was pretty good night, actually, in the box. I mean, obviously Channel 9 are calling from a couple of doors down, and you often walk past... Yeah. You know, Gus and Joey and Brad Fittler got me in a headlock before the game, so there's a bit of rivalry going on. But we managed to get it to air, and look, it's great to get the footy on, I got to say, on Fox, on the Fox League. It's a 24-hour channel, and it's just bloody awesome, I reckon.
Not enough hours in the day to watch old rugby league games.
Hey, Kevin, what did you make of the Broncos? Good, they won. I mean, let's not forget that Cronulla are the reigning champions. The Broncos did well to beat them.
Well, I certainly did. I thought the loss that they had over in England would really sharpen them up a little bit, which it did. And people forget the quality of some of the players in this Brisbane team. You know, guys like Milford and Hunt. Sam Thaiday last night was really outstanding. You know, Adam Blair, Josh McGuire, all these players are experienced players. And the captain in particular, the back, Darius Boyd, well, what a game that he had. So, you know, people who are writing Brisbane off not making the eight and all these sorts of things.
That's crazy.
Know, they're the ones with the white noise, not Wayne.
Yeah, that's right.
Gillett was good last night, Kevy. I just need to mention him too.
Who was that? Sorry, mate.
Gillett, did you give him a rap?
Oh yeah, mate. I like Matt the way he goes about his business. He's a no nonsense sort of bloke, and obviously he'll be featuring prominently when Origin comes around as well. But right now he's doing a great job for the Broncos. They need guys like him to really stand up. They have got some younger forwards in there, the Broncos this year, which they've had to blood with the departure of Corey Parker and the like. So. It's good to see him really standing up and making himself known on the field.
Hey, Kevy, can I talk to you about this betting thing? So they've banned a number of what they call exotic betting options on the NRL season this year. So it's you can't bet on 40-20s kicked in a match, also head-to-head player bets, most runs, most metres and most tackles. What do you think of the banning of these bets?
Oh, look, I've got to agree with it, actually, Ed. I think some of those smaller bets, you know, it's not that it's tempting for people or players, but my mind goes back to over in England. We're at a World Club Challenge game against Wigan, actually. This was in the early 90s, and Julian O'Neill backed himself to score the first try in the game.
That's all right. Game.
Yeah, well, honestly, we should have been up about four tries, but Julian just wouldn't pass the ball. He wouldn't pass the ball, and he finally got an opportunity, he scored, and I think he got 7 or 10 or 12 to 1 and pounds back in those days. We were calling him the Pope after that.
Wow.
He wouldn't pass the pill.
Oh, beautiful.
Hey, Kevy, the last time I saw you was actually outside the actor's entrance at QPAC. Because your daughter was in Matilda.
Yeah, she is. Look, it's a great experience for her. She's actually there. And her and my wife are over in Perth at the moment. The show's gone over there. So they're over there for 10 weeks performing. It's such a different world. You know, I live in the rugby league bubble, which is a bit stupid in itself. But that world of dance and theatre is really amazing. Yeah. And the work that these girls and the boys that are acting, the young kids, it's really an amazing show. Really.
She's very good, Kevy. She's really good.
Well, that's right, Rob. See, all those nights at City Rolls with me dancing away on the dance floor finally paid off.
Remember the days with the Ipswich Connection too. Hey, hey, we're the Broncos.
All this publicity. Now, look, she's done it on Ava. I mean, I've got five kids and four boys and one girl. All the boys are playing rugby league. Ava, my youngest, she works harder than any of those boys, hands down, at her dancing and at her performing. It's just really, I'm really proud to see her up there doing her stuff. It's
Kevy,
great stuff.
I hear the missus went to Adele in Perth while she was over there. How'd that go?
Oh, look, it was fabulous. She said it was fabulous. I was meant to be there, but obviously Perth's a fair way away, Marlo. But I rang her up and she had a ball there. So Adele's on. Is she on
this
tonight?
Weekend. No, tomorrow. It's Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday, yeah. So, looks, it's going to be fabulous for all Brisbane people to get out.
No. I'm not talking Adele with Kevin Walters.
Okay. Can I?
Can I just say Marto brought it up, not me.
Yeah, no, it was your fault because you started with Matilda. No, what are we going to do? Hey, Kev, have you ever seen Starlight Express? What are your thoughts on cats, mate? Do you think Phantom of the Opera should make a comeback? No.
Kevy's trying to sing, mate. He's a former.
Hello, it is.
Kevy, I've got one more for you, and I know you're working on Fox League.
God,
last night on Channel 9, they had their footy show. I just watched the first few minutes. There was this bloke. I'll get you. It'll be a quiz question for you. They had a bloke. They taped him up and tied him up like Hannibal Lecter. All right? This is at the start of the show. Right at the start. I couldn't watch after this. And then they had a mask on him. They pulled off the mask. And I'll just have a listen, and you might be able to tell me if you can know who this is. These are his first words. This is right at the start of their footy show. This is classic footy show stuff. Who is this?
How f***ing good's that?
Oh, that's Tom Radonigan. Yeah.
Correct.
Incorrect. Guess. That was actually
how... Tommy.
That's actually how Adele started her concert in Perth. So. Kevin Walters, that's it. I'm never talking anything except football with you ever again. Yeah. See you soon.
Come on, Ed. Come on.
Theatre review. Let's go to the ballet next week, mate. Right. Hey, you remember that guy rang yesterday, or I think we spoke to him on the phone, Callum from Callum Vale?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got him on the line now. Callum, are you there?
Yeah, mate, I'm here.
Callum from Callum Vale.
It's a walk-up start, really, isn't it?
It's a what? Do you remember what I said yesterday, Callum?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, what did I say? No, you don't. No. I just wanted to get you on. We had you on yesterday. You can stay there without talking if you'd like. Quite simply, I love our suburbs, and it made me think it's time to mark the roll, and I want to start it here. It can go forever. It can only go for 5 minutes. We'll see. I've got a theory that there'll be a Ken in Kenmore. There'll be a Scott in Ascot.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I've wanted to do this forever. There'll be a Gary who lives at Burpengary.
Oh,
that's all
Alex
I'm trying to
do. Alex at Alex Hills.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
Peter at Petrie.
Guess who's playing along? Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Ed looks a bit reluctant at this
no,
stage.
No. Paddy from Paddington.
Oh, very good. All right, we're
Anne
all on
from
board.
Anstead.
Callum, you've started something here. We're going to mark the suburban role. Thank you, sir.
No worries, mate.
Yeah. Right, no worries, mate. Hey, now, Callum gets a prize.
Just give him something.
Stay on the line, Callum, just for being so enthusiastic. You know the game. If your name corresponds to the suburb in which you are from...
Is it possible where we have any...
Brenda from Brendale. Are you out there, Brenda?
Cooper from Cooperoo.
Oh, ooh, lovely. Lovely. Like at that. The moment, we only have a theoretical role. I would like to mark a real one.
Hang on, we've just got one through that.
Who you got?
Look at this one.
If your name's Nudge and you live at Nudgy, have we got anyone?
You're on Hey Dad. Okay, hello, person from Logan Lee. What's your name?
Lee.
There you go.
All right, well first played on the roll. Excellent. Do you like the way this is looking, Lee? So what happens now every time you ring, because you'll be on the roll, you'll get probably moved to the head of the queue.
Cool.
That won't happen, but it was interesting to say.
No. No advantage, I'm sorry.
All right, there's nothing else we need to say. See, there's not a long conversation about this. It's just thank
thanks,
you, Lee.
Lee.
Next.
Caleb from Logan. That doesn't seem right.
No, Caleb.
Yeah.
No, that's not Caleb the way the game's working.
No. I live with a mate. His name's Logan.
Okay.
And where does he live?
Logan.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Look at him go.
That works. Logan.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Then move on. Don't engage the caller on this one.
Okay.
Oh, he's another idiot.
Wait a sec. Just wait.
It
Zach.
Says on my screen, it's Zach. Where are you from, Zach?
Nathan.
Yeah. Well,
I work in Nathan. I'm from Morningside, yeah.
Oh, but, I see. Your name is Nathan.
My first name is Nathan.
And you work in Nathan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works, Marto. That's double. Nathan from Nathan.
Zach,
that's great.
Of Morningside. Yeah,
I wanted residence. So thanks, Zach.
Oh,
why didn't they put Nathan on the screen if his name is... Anyway.
We'll accept it.
Okay, Tony.
Tony.
Hello.
Hi. You want to nominate someone who?
My ex from Ipswich.
Yep. What's her name? What?
The Witch.
All right, now listen, mate.
Okay.
Next.
You've got to give a couple of points for creativity.
Don't dig down on these ones. Look, this is Peter, and he'll be from Petrie, correct? Oh, no, where are we?
No.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Come
now
on,
what?
No, I'm from Victoria Point.
Well,
but
that's hopeless. Well, you need to have a Vicky if you're Victoria Point.
No. It was my grandmother. Her name was Mrs. Norman Avenue, Norman Park.
All right. She's on the roll.
Did she live close to the Rudds?
Oh.
To where?
The former Prime Minister lived on Norman Avenue.
He was Norman Avenue,
Park.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, there you go.
That's why you don't engage, and this is quite simply a roll call. Thanks, Pete. See, he should have been from Petrie. Oh, what about this bloke? Sam, let me guess where you're from. Are you? Samford? See,
cool.
Somebody who knows how to play the game. Yep. See that?
Okay, and that's winning.
Is that a funny thing? Do you find it funny, Sam?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see? And one more. I told you, don't talk to him.
No.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Where are you from?
Petrie.
Hey.
Do you find that funny?
Oh, yeah, I do now.
Yeah. Okay.
I want a Mitch from Mitchelton.
Oh, my God. Well, no, this time. This will go on forever. As soon as if you ring up Mitch from Mitchelton, just tell him and you'll always get in front of the line.
Is that how it works now?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't put any more thought into that. I just thought I wanted to hear Sam from Samford ring us one day, and then it's done.
And it was great.
And it was fabulous.
You did a wonderful job. It's Marno and Robin, the new
anything, so I don't have to talk about the Reds' loss last night.
Now there it is. That's why.
I think we all know about Adele. I tried to ignore the whole thing, but two sellout shows at the Gabba, 60,000 people, Saturday night, Sunday night.
As you're driving down, like I do, through along Milton Road, all the big signs that warn you that there's a game coming up, say at Suncorp, are saying, remember the Gabba.
It's a big deal, isn't it?
Fourth and fifth.
All right, I couldn't give enough stuff until I read this. England could have stumbled on a secret weapon ahead of this year's Ashes, with fears that Adele's Brisbane concerts could damage the Gabba wicket. That's right, she's that heavy.
No, her staging is that heavy. They're covering the entire ground with staging.
Actually, I did see there's a photo on the front page. No, listen, what we want to do is go to our mate, Dale Hall, the boss of Cap Security. Now, they're running the whole security at the moment. He's been at the Gabba since Saturday watching this whole thing unfurl. We'll go to him straight away. Hawley, are you still there now?
Yes, mate, yep.
Right, tell us what's going on inside that stadium. What does it look like? Because there's an enormous stage in the centre.
Mate, it's looking awesome, actually. I mean, the Gabba is actually designed just for this show, mate. So I think it's going to be spectacular because of the way the arena is set up and because it's in the middle of the oval. It's going to look awesome.
You've done lots of other big gigs like 1D. How does it compare to that?
Robin, it's One Direction was huge, but obviously it had a different sort of culture. This one directs towards a different demographic. You got mothers and daughters. involved with this one, and basically a lot more. I reckon a good 70% of them would be females, and basically we'll have to deal with it on the night.
Well, what about toilets? Because the Gabba's designed more for a male crowd, footy and cricket. What are they doing about, should we give some of our toilets?
That was the first thing that was addressed about 8 months ago, mate. They had that all under control, mate. They all
nappies?
They all knew.
Adele nappies?
Yes. Yes. It's not like M&M where you have to have other stuff in the toilets making sure the people are okay, so.
What about getting in and out? There's been so much concern that it's going to take hours to get people into the venue and out of it.
It's just jump on the TransLink website. I mean, obviously get there early and stuff like that. But it's the biggest show in Queensland, so you've got to look at it from the perspective of more numbers coming to the Gabba as well. Like I said, you can get a picture and basically get it home and realise the picture doesn't look good on your wall. But this Gabba site is set for this concert. So at the end of the day, it's perfect where it is. We just need to get there early and be patient, make sure they've got proper footwear on, and get in there for the biggest show ever.
What's the biggest security concern for your blokes?
Oh, mate, lost kids.
Of course.
That's probably it.
Of course.
Lost kids, mate. So basically we've done shows similar before, but in a smaller capacity. And because it's in a round area, the people are going to get disorientated. You've got to remember, every time people go to the Gabba, it's cricket or AFL and there's nice big lights on. But this one turns down, people are going to go, which way am I going?
Oh, God.
The good thing about the Gabba at the moment is when you get in there, they've got massive signs, which basically says Vulture Street, Stanley Street, Mains Road and stuff like that, actually on the stands, so people can see where they're going and that sort of stuff. So it's been a good thought process by the Gabba to get whatever information they can when people get in there to help people get disorientated, not as disorientated.
Why have they done it at the Gabba, not at Lang Park?
Well, because it suits the Gabba, mate. It's the way the configuration is, it just suits it instead of a rectangle. Yeah. Yes. It suits it perfectly, mate, you know.
Are you a fan?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Hey, mate, you mentioned to me yesterday you wanted just to apologise and thank everyone.
Yeah, mate, especially the people on Vulture Street. I mean, we're pushing that button and stopping traffic since Saturday between 30 and 60 times a day on Vulture Street, and the patience has been awesome by a lot of people. I think there was just one Triple M host in a ute drove past and gave us a golf ball. I can't remember his name, but So, but otherwise, they've been fantastic. I mean, you've got to remember that's a one-way area and kid drop-off and everything like that. Between 7 and 9 has been fantastic. So far, Brisbane has showed what their support behind this event, and like, it's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday, and it's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge, all right. Dale Hall, the captain of CAP Security, doing all the security work for the biggest events in Brisbane, does a great job. Good on you, Hawley. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Right, now, I want to talk about, there was a scam on TV last night, a restaurant scam, one of these old ones. Have a listen to this, and they had it all on video.
The diner is captured here on the restaurant's own security cameras. The woman has eaten almost all her meal when she appears to grab a hair from her own head and drop it in her plate. Oh. She adds some salt and waits a short time before calling over the waiter.
Oh, you idiot.
Well, I don't know what the salt was.
Well, there's too much salt in this hair. What's it? Okay.
Mate, it was there. She dead set. She had just the tiniest little bit left. Pulled her hair and then... And then they had the nerve to complain and write a bad review. I felt so sorry because this restaurant, I might as well say its name, give it a plug, Casa Nostra in the Valley. Apparently it's a tremendous, never been there, tremendous Italian restaurant. Yeah. And the poor owner and the bloke running the show was all upset.
She was like in panic. Take it away. I don't want to see nothing.
That's enough. I just wanted to prove that he was Italian.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that
was him. And here's what they've done. And this will upset you, I know, Ed, because... They've stepped away. They tried to blackmail him for a free meal.
Hate it.
And then they did this.
The owners say the hair found in the customer's meal was long, blonde and curly.
Oh,
but all of the chefs at the restaurant and the waiter who served the table have short, dark hair.
I knew I wanted that for some reason. So she got found out and they told her to bugger off. And she went home. They went home. Her and her dining partner wrote really wicked reviews on TripAdvisor. And that was the blackmail. They said, well, if you don't give us the meal for free, oh, God, people are...
So did this go to court?
I don't know where it sits at the moment. The bloke, I think it was just a warning, like the guy saying, be careful, these people, because restaurant and cafe owners work so hard.
Yep.
And I know it's Etsy and all the rest of it, but they're scammers. That's why it's expensive, because there's people like these people.
Yeah, don't you reckon they should be charged with fraud?
Yes, attempted fraud. Robin, that's fantastic. Attempted fraud, because that's what it is. And then to go home, and you know I'm big on this. Robin, I started the Brisbane Burger Club. You can follow us on Instagram. And the idea was, I have got three of my friends that have started cafes in various parts of the country. And I've told this story before, but there was this, I went to the opening weekend of one of them with one of my mates, and he's worked his way up from a coffee van that was sort of driving around town, you know, and he's now got a place, and he was so proud of it. And good there was this bizarre breakfast on there. It was like French toast with cream. It was like, you'd never eat it for breakfast. I said, mate, what's this? And he goes, oh, we have to have that. I go, why? He goes, bloggers. And so he purposely puts a meal that looks incredible but just tastes like cake on there so that when they come in, Robin, they take photos of it and they give it a good review. And I said, but mate, your food's delicious. He goes, it doesn't matter. If three of these so-called experts come in the first week and bag you on these websites,
you're gone.
That's so terrible.
It's disgraceful.
So we started the Brisbane Burger Club. You can find us on Instagram. Oh, we go around to all the best burger joints in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And everyone gets 5 stars.
Yeah.
We go to good places, but everyone gets 5 stars because burgers are my favourite meal. So these things are meant to be promoting the things that are good, not tearing down things that you think are bad because, you know, didn't fall for your scam.
That's good. That's good.
Isn't that good?
That's a really good idea. And let's hope this Italian place gets absolutely booked out this weekend because they didn't do the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, they're saying, hold on, this has ruined our reputation. Two people have tried to pull down a business. Yeah.
And when you said there, and the key in that whole story was
salt?
When they pulled out their hair and it was long, blonde and curly.
Yes.
When you said long and curly, I was like, good, because short and curly, that's not what you want.
No. Okay. Let's not forget the V8s. There's a lot of people, a V8
Love
type of V8s. People.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people do. And you know what happens with V8s? I found out I worked on it for a year with Fox. What those people don't like any other sports. They don't like any footballs. They just love their motor racing.
Yeah, but that's because you have to dedicate an entire day to sit down and watch one race.
Good. It's pretty good.
You don't have time for other sports.
One high-speed accident, and it's been well worthwhile. All right, so the clips all starts in Adelaide today. Traditionally, it is a hot weekend. I think it's 34, so that's always a lot of fun. They're saying they've made a lot of changes for this year because they're really starting to get some traction in terms of viewers. It's going really well, the V8
Supercar. Well, it's wonderful coverage, Marta. Well, you and I have spoken about this in terms of just coverage. The camera work, Robin, the sound, the everything, the commentary, everything is just, it's the best. It's the most comprehensive sport coverage there is.
And I watched on TV last night, they're going, oh, Red Bull will dominate again. Yeah, they finished 1, 2, 3 last year. Mm-hmm. There were 11 different winners of races last year. In the pack this year, there's 7 people have won the championship. There's actually a lot of variety in this thing. And the new initiatives, if I can give it to you. Remember Bathurst, when I kept on carrying on that Jamie had won that race and he shouldn't have had to redress? Yeah, he actually went over the line first.
Yes.
All right, they've changed that rule. Yeah. So it's sort yourselves out sort of thing. So that one's gone, and that'll mean there'll be a few more clippings, and that's always exciting. So the racing will be harder, and there's new tyres. Here's Mark Winterbottom. There will be more contact from the tyre on the road. The tyres we used last year were quite round on the sidewall. The new tyre is a lot squarer.
That doesn't sound faster,
a square tyre, but it'll mean more rubber hits the road when you turn the wheel.
Oh, you could skid more.
I guess so. They're predicting the fastest supercar season ever. Lap records and race records to be smashed.
Wow.
That's initiative number 2.
Oh, good. Okay.
Initiative number 3 is the biggest one of them all. Delta Goodrum's involved.
Okay, what's she doing? Because she's also involved as the face of rugby league.
Oh, I don't like that ad she's on, but that's another thing. Well, she's helping, but here's the CEO. Delta's going to help build the awareness curve. She'll perform at a couple of meets, and at Bathurst, she'll be on the grid. And isn't that a key moment for any sport? Isn't that a key moment? Like songs like, well, actually, we spoke to Shane Van Gisbergen, and he was...
Well, what he thought about Delta being the face, yeah.
Not really my type of music, but she looks good.
All right, so that's...
Well, that's probably why she's there.
Van Gisbergen. Well, let's have a listen to... I didn't know her music until about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, you know this one?
Born to try, Marto.
Nothing says Holden more than that. Nothing says Holden. You got any more gear from Delta?
Yeah, this is Wings, apparently.
That board. That is their catchy board song. Who listens to this music?
Ed,
have you got Nissan's favourite song there somewhere? Oh, my God. VA.
Ed's singing along. What are you talking about?
Oh, do you know this?
Ed loves it.
12-year-old girls and Ed. Their music.
Hit it, Cavalier. That's chorus.
Come on.
Standing on top. Standing on top of the world. That's the leader. Yes.
And I'm in.
Yep.
If that's what it, if that's what they're doing, if they're going past Delta, if Delta's singing and they're going past at 280 kilometres an hour and all you hear is, standing on top.
Yeah. Marto, Ed and Robin, yeah. The new Triple M.
Marto, Ed and Robin's Big Footy Drop. Thanks to Hide for Hire's on-time delivery of modern, reliable booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-HIGHT or hideforhire.com.au.
Oh, yeah, footy season kicked off yesterday, Marto, and to celebrate, they did something very unique at the Broncos Leagues Club.
Oh, yeah, we put the call out for two diehard footy fans to tell us why they want to win some big cash with us. And Daryl from Kalanga and Brooke from Forest Lake played. They were selected. I think Daryl represented me, and so I represented Daryl and you.
I represented Brooke.
Hey, they're here now. Hi, Daryl. Hi, Brooke.
Hello. All right.
Morning, guys.
Hello, guys. Well, listen.
Morning.
After the show, as you know, we said, you know, guys, don't have to do anything. We'll go and do all the work and try to get some money for each of you. So we headed out to the Broncos Leagues Club. How good is that joint looking? It jumped. We put in a Height for Hire. They've just got a brand new scissor lift that goes 42 metres, which is 12 stories high.
We got in it.
It was interesting.
We went up and then we started to throw balls down.
Trying to drop them into a normal size household rubbish bin, not a wheelie bin. And we were supposed to win money for you and also... Well, listen, let's play it first and here's what happened.
Yeah, $500 on the line, remember, and tickets to the Broncos Cowboys next week. Here we go. Here's how it went down.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, no worries.
This is ridiculous, as always. Have a look where we are.
I'm trying not to.
10 metres? Only another 32 to go. Oh, good Lord. Can you feel? I'm getting pins and needles in the soles of my feet.
Is that what happens to you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where to look.
Oh, my God. Can you look down?
I'm not going to look down.
All right, so don't look down, but all you have to do is virtually drop the ball, reach arm, and drop it out. Don't look down. Right? Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
You ready? Righto, what do you want to? You go first.
Okay.
Throw a one, we'll be Robin Bailey.
Righto.
Oh, God.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Oh, Marto! Oh, yeah.
Righto, okay, I've come got on. The technique now.
Oh, Marto!
Oh, you've given that a bit. She's giving it a bit! Oh! Oh, good, right. That's right, love it.
Oh!
Far out, right. Okay, heavy ball. Yeah. Oh, we're close. Oh, bounce! On the bounce! No! Does bounce count?
Yes! But not yet!
Bounce does count, doesn't it? Get it! All right!
Yes! Get it down!
Well done, Rob.
Can I just say that it does prove that a water polo arm...
It was the water polo throw. I tried the spin, thinking I'd cut through the air, but that was just a random throw, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing the 3-day course so I could just hire this out on weekends and drink beer up here. Well done to the victor. Well done, Brooke.
Yeah, well done, Brooke. $500 and tickets to the Broncos. Good on you.
Robin Bailey.
I know, Brooke. Really? You nailed it, love.
Oh, you nailed it. That's awesome.
She doesn't get the money, Brooke. You get the $500 and you get the tickets to the Bronx.
Oh, awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Oh, it was
there is
so
a video.
Girl power.
Yeah, look, I think it was quite by accident. And then after we'd finished throwing out the winning ball, then Marto and I just got rid of the other balls and I managed to nail one quite by accident.
There was no need to mention that.
Oh, awesome.
It was so spooky. Oh, we better say hello to Daryl. Daryl, you've got a couple of tickets to the Broncos Cowboys next week, mate, 10th of March.
Oh, nice, guys. Thanks for that.
Cheers, mate. Enjoy the footy.
Now, we haven't ever had this conversation, but I'm guessing, like most people, there is probably a fair bit of support in this room for medicinal marijuana for adults. Yeah?
Oh, God, yeah. For everyone. Yeah.
Well, hang on. So here's the thing. would you still support it for children? Because this morning they're suggesting children as young as 12 suffering from anxiety and severe mental health issues could be treated with this medicinal cannabis.
Well, the way that we think about this, Robin, is that Marto and I really had our eyes opened, and not our minds changed, but our opinions confirmed by some conversations that we had that before you joined the show.
We didn't know anything about it prior to this.
Yeah, around this very issue, Marto.
Mm. Well, and when we still don't know too much, but what we had was straight away, we had a lady ring us, okay, and go, listen, let her tell the story. It's Sherry. This is from last year, and we realised, yes, marijuana needs to be given to these kids with problems.
Yes, she's now 9. She's been using medical cannabis for almost 2.5 years now. Tara was having anywhere from 65 to 500 seizures every day.
What?
Yeah. She'd been resuscitated 8 times in 2012, 12 times in her lifetime. At least 5 of those were where we'd had to do it ourselves.
So what did normal medicine offer?
Not much. The most we'd ever got was 6 days seizure-free, and that only ever happened once.
So you were living moment to moment, basically, your poor little girl.
At any watch her
moment,
all the time.
She could have a seizure. And I imagine life for her must have just been absolute agony, the poor little thing. And then how did you get hold of the medical marijuana to try?
Well, look, for us, it was actually, it came to the point where there was another family who'd lost their child to Dravet syndrome.
Jeez.
And they actually put us in touch. They'd looked at, you know, options in the US and all that kind of thing, and they didn't get the chance to try it.
Was this where your daughter was probably heading, Death?
Yes, we were actually given 12 to 24 months. We were basically told her brain shut down. Her IQ was now too low to score. She was in a wheelchair, and she could walk with a walking frame for a short distance. You know, she could manage getting around her classroom unaided, but that was about the extent.
All right, now give us the update on your little girl now. How is she going?
She is 746 days seizure-free.
How do you take it? Is it an oil or
oil?
Something?
Yeah, so it's a tincture, which is basically, it's in an alcohol base, goes straight under her tongue. In her situation, what we've done is we've actually put it into lollies, so it's absorbed into lollies.
There you go. And I'm going to ask the stupid question here, because this is the one that gets levelled at medical marijuana. She's not walking around stoned the whole time, is she?
No. No,
there you go.
So the product we are using has 0.0038% THC. She's walking, she's talking, she's done dance recitals. Yes, she's behind. She's functioning about a 7 or 8 year old, but we're happy with that.
Okay, well, with that, why isn't it readily available?
Because
our politicians are
gutless. The minute you say the word marijuana, they go running. They are completely gutless. If one of them heard that, if any politician heard that and doesn't immediately go, marijuana seems to be okay, that means they shouldn't be representing anybody.
I thought that I thought that there may have been some repercussions that the kids would actually be impacted by the drugs. But from what she's saying,
the word
not
marijuana scares the hell out of politicians. They think if I'm the person who pushes the button and gives it the all clear, I'm going to get slayed at the polls. It doesn't affect blood pressure, it doesn't affect body temperature, it doesn't affect motor functions or psychological functions or appetite. It affects nothing. It's one of the great, it appears from every bit of evidence I've ever heard to be the wonder drug for anxiety and problems in kids.
Okay, well, we just need to keep playing that until they listen.
They don't listen. They don't care. They've got no guts.